Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I think we should start our meeting. I think everybody is comfortable now. There are several questions that were posed to the department in relation to the report that was presented to us. I will give that opportunity to the department to respond on those issues that were raised. There are several matters that were raised by all members. And my comment was that it seems to me that our schemes are not gelling very well in dealing with the finances. And you know, when we talk about these monies, it is a gift. Anyway, it's monies. We just give. We just give. And we don't seem to be very firm on what we agree upon in terms of the contractual agreements, so that any service provider, be it a consultant, can feel that we are grieving on their necks, and we want prudent or qualitative output from those contractual agreements. It seems to me that's a lazy affair. All right, we'll give you another money, extend it, and so on. There were some serious questions around this matter. It's also a concern for me. We must not get a feeling that because this money is not coming out of my pocket directly, so I might be casual and allow people to do as they wish. We need to be very firm, put our systems and talk to them, and we must be very honest and be transparent. If our PFMA is not tight enough, not tight enough to deal with those defaulters, you must tell us so that we turn the situation around as far as this matter is concerned. And you know that we are among the nine departments that were identified by the AG in as far as this matter is concerned. And it can't be business as usual. I must get a sense that we are on top of the issues and we are in the transit so that consultants can't dictate us and come to us to say we want another extension for this particular project because I had this, you know, this issue of the bereavement and 18 months down the line, then the matter was completed. I mean, a bereavement takes 2 months, the 2 weeks or so, or a month. It's not that we are sympathetic, but the reality of the matter, the bigger picture must tell us that we need to be decisive in our actions, in monitoring, and implementing government policies. So I do get a sense that we are not really firm, that our systems are not speaking to one another. For instance, in the airport, there is a system that they use as BAS. BAS. So that system, surely this department, there are other systems that we are using financially. Maybe we should also get some clarity around the system of BAS in relation to your normal procedures in terms of the system that you are using. Why this one? And so on. So let me reserve my comment. Maybe I will ask later. Otherwise, I'm just saying, let us be seen looking after the public funds much more discreet, so that AG in the next financial year does not find us to be where we are today. Thank you very much. Over to you, Mr. Den.
Thank you, Chair. I'll give the opportunity for colleagues to respond and then go back and try and fill the gaps on the quality technical issues on dates and so on if they have not responded to. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, I will deal with some of the general remarks, but also specifically on the tax recapitalization program, as well as the National Transport Master Plan, the NATO map. Chair, the contracts cited by the AG are about 10% in terms of expenditure of the total budget of the department, actually even less. If you look at the 29 billion, I think the amount that were cited as having internal control weaknesses are concerned. But we're not defensive. Actually, I have acknowledged some of the internal control weaknesses. And some of these, because remember, this is an audit that was done in 2010, have already been strengthened in the past 2.5 years. For example, the policy on the use of consultants, generally, and the policy on the use of databases and how we allocate work in terms of supply chain practice nodes, particularly on rotation and seeking of quotations, paragraph 4. So some of those measures, as far back as during the audit, were already rectified. I'll come to specifics. The National Transport Master Plan was a project of the department. And in terms of the award bidding procurement and the management of the contract, the AG actually found out that our controls are actually quite strong and safe. The issue that was raised was that after you have developed this plan, do you have a plan on implementation? And when we indicated that now the National Transport Master Plan, the national framework, implementation is going to be done by implementing agents like your provinces, local government, and so on, then the issue was, do you have, therefore, a capacity for monitoring, which we acknowledged at the time, because it was forward planning. And we have ultimately, in this last restructuring, made provision for a unit that would specifically deal with the monitoring of the NAT map. And I must indicate that that would have to be after it has been adopted as government policy also. The question in particular was, is this a consolidation of the transport planning initiatives in provinces? Ideally, it would have been so, but remember, this started before some of the provinces that are now engaged in integrated transport planning have started. So, but they are guided by that as a national planning framework. The short answer is, it's not a consolidation of those plans, but it is a national framework which therefore guides the way in which integrated transport planning should of necessity be done. What provinces have in totality are what you call your provincial land transport framework in terms of the NLTA. But over and above that, there are therefore those who go further and look into the issues around economic growth and social issues, and then come up with what they call National Transport Master Plan. And they are initiated within provinces, not necessarily compliance with legislation. So we that is our response in that regard. Okay, I'd like to take some time on the text recap, because I want to give a background, the nature of the program and the contract and how far we are. I would want to concede slightly that I think we have the information is a bit overloaded, because not only did we provide actuals, but we also made some projections. For example, situation at the end of March, but also the situation at the end of the contract in August. I think we need to just make that disclaimer upfront, just so that therefore the numbers are looked in perspective. The technical capitalization resulted from the recommendation of what we call the taxi task team, NTT. Around 1995, in the height of the violence and everything else, among the arguments between government and the taxi industry was that first there were three key recommendations. One was that the taxi industry would be regulated and formalized, and that to talk to the issues around Antak, which I'll come to again at a later stage. Number two, the taxi industry will be empowered. There was an issue around economic empowerment, and the third one was training and development. Taxi recapitalization was a result of this second recommendation of economic empowerment, but also improving safety on the roads to remove the old unsafe vehicles and replace them with safe vehicles. And then the earth was agreed with the taxi industry at the moment. I still remember very vividly because I was around. The taxi industry said, give us 50,000 and we'll go find the vehicles. That's where the hit around 50,000 came. And then we did a little bit of analysis of the amount. At the time, it was thought to be very fair. But it was based, unfortunately, on the cost of the vehicles around that time. Then we calculated, and you must remember, the part of formalization and regulations meant the conversion of permits to operation license, but also to bring into the regulation fold those that were unregulated and did not have permits and so on. And that is where the issue around the extra 35 would come in. Now, based on the figure of 100,000 and the 50,000, we came to the figure of 5.5 billion. And then 2.2 was to be set aside for regulation and enforcement. That's where the figure of 7.7 billion came in. And it was supposed, therefore, to be a 7-year program. We went to cabinet, agreed. The cabinet approved the 7-year program at 7.7 billion to scrap Harrods taxes. But we made it very clear that we are still taking stock of the taxes, and then we'll come back with the figure. Now, as part of the formalization and regulation, we embarked on what we call the firstly, it was the special legalization process to legalize the illegal taxes at the time. And then and a second campaign called the Be Legal campaign to clear up the exercise. That resulted in an additional 35,000 taxes. This is where and out what to agree that AG, when you do accounting, it would look like you are adding another 2.1 billion. But in essence, and I will explain, it must not necessarily be the case. 2 years into the program in 2009, because this was the first program, I think nowhere in the world was there ever a tax recapitalization program. There was just a scraping exercise down in South America, and that's where we learned how to therefore get rid of the whole.
Sorry, just 1 second. I want us to be mindful of time. I feel a report that is coming. I know the historical background is important, but we need to move with a little bit of speed, and also to members, because I don't want them to block out from 12:30. We do have a sitting in the afternoon. Thank you.
Sure, thanks very much. I just thought that perhaps the background would therefore kill off some of these issues that come out, and perhaps not necessarily informed by this background. But I'll be very fast. We went back to cabinet and said we found additional 35,000 taxes that needs to be scrapped. But also, the allocation from treasury, this is where the things come in, do not tie together or connect to the 7 years, but also to the number of taxes that we would want to scrap. If we do not get additional allocations to cover the 5.5 billion, from treasury, we will not cover the numbers in the 7-year period of the program. And then the cabinet indicated, no, you will not get additional funding from treasury. Otherwise, you'll burden the fiscal. Where you must go and scrap as the amount, the levels available to you, made available to you by treasury, even if the last test that you scrap takes you even after 12 years, because we said it will be 12 years, or if it's 7 years, the allocation should increase. Then we were therefore then given the leeway to go beyond the 7 years because of the allowable amount. And that's where the 54,000 comes in. It is based on what we get pay from Treasury. That's the first thing. If you look at the figures, they are around 7,000 on average per year. And if you look at those, we are actually at around 53 now. That is where the figure of 54 comes in. So the anticipation that we would have had scrapped 100,000 by year 7 would not be supported by the money that we get from Treasury as the first thing. But it is true that now we are also having, I mean, challenges with the numbers of the taxes that are coming in. But even if they were to come in, we would not do more than 7,000 because the money is not one area. But two, the taxi industry, suddenly from 110,000, is the old CIA, to about 340,000 if you look at the new vehicle. Now it became slightly unaffordable for the taxi industry. But also, because of the type of the industry, even the financial institutions are not helping us. They are requiring up to 75% deposit because they deem the industry to be risky. So those are some of the things that we looked at as we, as part of our review of the system. And that's where we are saying perhaps the tax recap in its current form might not necessarily yield the desired results. One, it has taken out 54,000 unsafe vehicles. But two, it is not a sustainable business model, even for the taxi industry. If you look at a well-run taxi that is profitable and is doing in areas of 3,000 kilometers per month, in year three, that taxi is old, and we do not have necessarily a replacement traffic. That's why we are changing course. But in the changing of course, we have to do an option analysis. And part of the process, we still have to go back to cabinet and say, the program will have to change course in the manner that it's doing. That is where the FTC was indicated that we need 2 years, not to complete 81,000, but we need therefore 2 years to concretize the new model that we have embarked on, which is the Public Transport Transformation and Integration Plan, which seeks to integrate all modes into public transport system, wherein we will therefore provide an operational subsidy irrespective of the vehicle, but the design and the volume on a particular route will dictate to us the type of vehicle that needs to be on a road, whether it's a bus or a taxi, or a combination of the two. That would be the model that we're embarking on. So we are now, the focus therefore becomes the commuter, no longer the operator. But again, we are no longer talking buses and taxis, therefore are talking public transport. When it comes to that plan, it requires around 12.9 billion per annum. That is that plan. And then if you look at the current model of around 94 million on taxis and around 4.3 on buses, it is close to threefold the amount of money that we require. Hence, we're talking about the 2 years one to consolidate all of the funds that are all over. We still have the PTIS, the P2G, and the tax recap, and try to ensure that we have available enough funds to subsidize public transport in the country. That is the amount of the 2 years. It's not necessarily to deal with the rest of the 81,000 on the tax recapitalization. Now, on the issues around the receipts, it is just the money of the amount of the scrap metal that we receive as a result of us scraping the vehicle. Remember, we crack the vehicle, but we don't throw away the scrap. We sell them and the money comes into a trust fund. The trust fund is to go back onto the industry via a distribution mechanism called the Development Trust, wherein we have a representative of the department now as a result of the criticism of the AG to monitor how money has come into that trust fund and goes out. Part of the money that comes into that trust fund is the shareholding that is for the taxi industry, 30%, that is for the taxi industry, again, also goes back onto the industry. Why Santaco only? Santaco, as part of that process I spoke to earlier on, was a formation of government. Government formed Santaco. government formed FATAC firstly, and then there were people who were dissatisfied with the election process. Government reconvened against the same grouping, which resulted in the formation of FATAC with the N. Part of that process, again, there were a few that were disgruntled because they could not get onto the position of power within FATAC. They then formed themselves into NTA and Top 6. But later on, Top 6 and NTA combined into NTA, the National Taxi Alliance. At the start of the program, you would recall, therefore, there was only FATAC as a representative of the taxi industry nationally. There was not necessarily any NTA to talk about. However, what the trend we are experiencing now is that this NTA, which started as what we can call an intergroup, is now resulted into a formidable force that we cannot necessarily ignore. Our main aim would still be to unite the taxi industry into a single body that government can talk to and be able to support and empower. So our documents will still reflect Sandago Sandako, but going forward we would want to bring others to come in. The only pity thing is that it will always be the issue around the name. But we say the best part for government is therefore for NTA to come back into Sandago, which was formed by government. That is the issues around Sandago NTA, and that is the issues, Chair, around tax recapitalization.
Okay. Further answers, I think matter of tax is an ongoing debate, because it can't just be money, but also need to look at the quality of the transport. The taxis themselves, we have not spoken about that as yet, the design of the taxis and so on. How do we arrive at a preferential taxi, quantum vis-a-vis CII and so on. I think we'll have to delve into that field. I know it's a mind-boggling field. We'll talk about it later. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to attempt to answer all the questions of Honorable Olive and Lakuda as I go through this. It's important, Chair, that we get the dates right. And maybe, and our oversight from us was to actually enhance the slide that we presented because the same question came up at SCOPA. The period 1 June 2002 to 12 April 2007 was the build phase of this contract. From 13 April 2007 to 31st May 2007 was then the operation phase. Those phases combined from June 2002 to 31st May 2007 was the five-year initial contract. Then from 1 June 2007 to the 31st of May 2012 was the transfer management period. This transfer management period is made possible by Clause 15 in the contract that we had with the service provider. This contract allowed for the transfer of the system to the state equal to the period of the building and operation phase. So we invoked this clause and it's provided for the service to then be rendered on a time and material basis. So that period then kicks in. We then, in this period between 2007 to 31st May of 2012, there was in 2010 a change of shareholding with the providers of the Tasima. That was the old Tasima. Then there was a new Tasima. So Arusha was the party that left the consortium, and between the members of the old Tasima, they had an arrangement where if any party opts out, the other two have the right to acquire their stake. So they approached the department and said they acquired this part of Arabia. And in also doing so, they proposed to the department a further five-year period. So in 2010, that's inside of this period between 2007 and 2012, an extension was then granted. and that's where the legal opinions come from. Because when once extension was granted, we then sought legal opinion after that. And the legal opinion was found that by the deflection of time, you cannot renew a contract. So therefore, this contract, which had deflected in 2007, and it was in terms of cost of scheme that it was being transferred, it basically meant that we had no contract. The whole of the contract had fallen away except for Schedule 15, which was the transfer to the state. So we were not in a contractual relationship with the service provider. We were receiving the system into the state. And administratively, we had therefore extended this thing in 2010, and two legal opinions supported this to say that it should not be done. Then the Director General set up a task team in November of 2011, in lieu of the May 31st, 2012 deadline, to negotiate with the service provider the nullifying, obviously, of that transfer, and to then set in place a migration plan to the envisaged ICT trading entity, which at that time, in November of 2011, was not in place. We had still been preparing the business case, etc., to trade, but we needed the cooperation of current service provider to acquire the system. It's not possible to do it without them. Key in this process, of course, is to look at the network and the infrastructure, to look at the call center, the customer support, the data processing, as well as the architecture and connectivity. And so we used that period of negotiation to strike a plan with the service provider for their exit as planned in the end of May 2012. Unfortunately, that didn't come to be. The negotiations started off on a high note, but they broke down. The service provider started making demands of compensation, etc., which the state was not in a position to grant. When the negotiations broke down, then in June of 2012, we sent notice to them saying that we refused to pay any further amounts of the services, we demand the entire thing. And then they took us to court. We then ended up getting a judgment from court forcing us to honor the contract and to seek remedy in terms of the dispute resolution clause. We obviously started the process of appealing this and put in our own application to the extent that even as we sit, Chairperson, the legal issues between the contractor and ourselves have not been exhausted. So the period that is irregular, Chairperson, is only the period after the 31st of May 2012. Everything up to that point is regular. So we are, as we sit now, is the period of irregularity that we find ourselves in. Then in terms of the further question, are we ready? Yes. As of the 1st of June 2012, we envisage operating the system. So we had planned the necessary capacity, secondary data center and support, etc., the goal of this, in order to receive the function from the service provider. We partnered with CETA in doing so, the State Information Technology Agency, that's CETA. We partnered with CETA. They themselves identified skills within CETA. They themselves contracted a third-party contractor to CETA, not to the department, but to CETA, to support them in migration. We then put up a plan looking at the key resources for technical operations, the key resources for the administrative part, the call center, the amalgamation with the other DOT systems, the operational security, etc. And we sit with CETA on a monthly basis, and sometimes even more often, just revising the plan that we already had in place for 2012. So at any point, Chairperson, if a decision is taken by our court, we can find some other remedy. The department would be within 24 hours able to continue the operation of the system. Unfortunately, we will be held in contempt of court if we sack the service provider unilaterally. So we have to exhaust, in a constitutional democracy, all the process, the court processes to allow us to go. We are unfortunately being frustrated by the service provider who is using the court to draw this contract out into 2015 in any case. We are aware of that, and we've sat with the minister and also looked at alternative remedies in order to mitigate this situation, and we are working jointly with the state attorney's office to fast-track some of these measures under the guidance of the minister. we do recognize and we have a responsibility to the state to limit this irregularity. So we're using the provisions of the contract to only do the core services and not the peripheral services, and that's basically been our approach today. Hopefully, Jefferson, I've not taken up too much of time. I've tried to be as crisp as possible, but I'm willing to engage on any questions of clarity on that aspect.
I know people might want to make a follow-up, but they must hold back on that. Further responses?
Yes, dear. I'll very quickly through some of the other responses. I think the first question, why is it so easy for consultants in this, that ties in with your comment on the PFMA chairperson, with reason, currently accounting officers actually have sweeping procurement powers. So if an accounting officer approves reasons for extending a contract, that accounting officer is in fact entitled to extend the contract, and possibly the PFMA should restrict those powers somewhat more. The possible kickback to officials, we have not investigated that possibility. Have you come back from COPAS? COPAS actually requested the department to have the Hawks investigate the extension, and that would obviously then include further investigation into the extension of the UNITAS contract.
Chuck, you did initiate a forensic investigation by yourself?
Yes, we have concluded a forensic investigation by yourself.
So that report will be available to the committee members?
Chair, I would have to obtain a legal opinion whether we can make it available to the committee. It does have restrictions. Personally, I wouldn't mind making it available on this particular legal service. So now there are other colleagues who are also interested in seeing that report.
Well, I'm raising the matter deliberately because surely the committee might have some keen interest, very increased in that report and the progress thereof. Not just to be curious, but surely we want to monitor whether action is being taken. But nevertheless, we'll make a call up at the right time. Thank you.
Okay, just a technical one. The audit finding on the date again of the United extension, the audit finding was put down was done verbatim. The contract was extended on 11 May, but was extended with effect from the 1st of May 2010.
Can you repeat yourself on what you are raising?
The confusion regarding the dates, the 11th of May 2010 and the 1st of May 2010, when the contract was extended. The auditors, the finding says the contract was extended on 11 May. Now, 11 May was the date that the extension was signed, but it was signed with effect from the 1st of May 2010 for a period of 5 years.
Contradicting your own colleague in terms of what you are responding now to what has been said by the DG?
No, it's not contradicting what the DG says.
All right, let's leave it, but we'll have it. You may proceed.
Chair, by setting the policy discussion document, and where is the policy? The discussion document was developed, as I mentioned, this was a discussion document on anti-train surfing and suicide. That discussion document is being used to develop the rail policy. It was a discussion document. It's not a policy itself that will be eventually implemented. This was just a discussion document that was developed.
Is that check from you a discussion document at this point in time? Remember, this is it's 20 reports. Now, how far are we with that discussion document? Is it still a draft?
Sure, as far as I know, the discussion document has been completed, but the rail policy is currently very, very close to completion. It's probably going to be finalized very soon. I don't know whether the committee has already received presentations on the rail policy.
Did you see anything on that?
No. Yeah, I think it's true. The rail policy is at consultation stage. I think that is the answer I wanted to give. What was mentioned there, which was construed as policy, was a discussion document which was long finalized. Now, the rail policy process started in 2011. We are finalizing the rail policy.
By when? We are in 2013 now. Is there any light?
Chair, we are at the green paper stage, meaning then that it will be gazetted out for comments. We can file out now, Chair, even before the meeting is over from the rail section.
Thank you very much. Proceed, sir.
Thank you. The comment of an ongoing process of monitoring by project managers, what does this mean for every contract that is awarded? A project manager is designated. That project manager has the responsibility to monitor the work that is being done by a consultant and to sign off on all the payments to that consultant. The department does not have its own monitoring team to monitor the use of consultants. This is happening in every line function that awards a contract. We do keep track on, there's a system called LOGIS, the Logistical Information System, on which all the contracts are captured. And those contracts are captured at a particular ceiling amount and for a specific period. And obviously all payments must be both within that ceiling amount and within the period, otherwise the system will flag that there is a discrepancy on the payment. Also, the receipts in the taxi...
before that, also responded to the issue of bus system vis-a-vis logging, because we are now on system.
For us to say time, Chairperson, I think the respondent must not try to respond on questions that were already responded to. Yes. Thanks.
Over to you, Proceed.
Very quick one, the remaining receipts, that trust is subject to income tax, and the available receipts are after provision for income tax. The amounts that were overcharged by the events management company, there was a legal process that was followed. At the end of the day, the department did not pay more than a total contractual amount. And I think, yes, the competitive procurement process is not followed. Are people still employed? I think, well, the one person was dismissed. In other cases, I did mention where the auditors found competitive processes were not followed, they were closed bids, and those closed bids were properly approved for proper reasons that were provided. And just the BAS and the BAS system is the basic accounting system. That's the main system on which a department ledgers and expenditure accounts are kept. The LOGA system, or the Logistical Information System, is the procurement system through which assets are fixed assets are recorded. It has an asset register, and it also keeps a procurement system. Any procurements that are done, an order is issued through the Logistical Information System. Payments are processed on the Logistical Information System, but those payments interface into the basic accounting system where the payment is finally approved. So these two systems link to each other.
Thank you very much. Any other outstanding questions?
Yeah, but also perhaps to say, Honourable Chair, that it is the government function system, the BAS. It's used throughout government. So we won't be able to use any other system.
Thank you very much for responding. Any further questions, ladies and gentlemen, the last round on this matter, so that we step off and take another presentation quickly, please assist me.
Thank you, Jennifer. Oh, man, get out to put my full question. I want to make one or two of them. Jennifer, when a department talking about taking the taxis to another, they don't scatter taxis. I'm having a problem on that one because we are always talking about that. I don't know if there's somebody who monitor that taxis. You might come back and claim again that a taxi. You take a taxi, you don't scrap it, they say they put somewhere else, if I hear clear. Then I have a problem. And the other issue is that I want to know if they have this list of the consultants, whereby they are not doing their job well. We are talking about putting the other company in a credit so that if they don't do well, government must know them. They mustn't take them to another project. And then when you say you canceled a consultant because the procedure was not done well, can you just share with us? Maybe you see when you go to a consultant, to the big companies, when you enter in the room, they charge you. When they open a mouth, they charge you. Maybe there is something that you have done, but it doesn't come out. Thank you, Jennifer.
On the matter of the tax recapitalization, it will need a further proof because it's not about figures per se. There's a lot that is involved in it. But nevertheless, she has asked the question, and then last two. Can you just quickly respond to those?
Thank you very much, Chair. I think the question was, how do you deal with taxes that could come back into the system? It's not possible. Chair, we are not necessarily saying that there won't be people in Asian fraud. We have arrested a few of them in Mpumalanga, where there's another case registered with the police in Gauteng. But that is a serious collusion between the person purposing to have the scrap with the officials of the scraping agency plus the officials of the INAT at the municipality. So that is a criminal element to it. But mechanisms and measures that are put in place to show that that cannot happen. You cannot scrap a taxi that does not have an operating license. So for an operating license, and you must submit a physical vehicle. And that vehicle, you will never see it again. Because once we deregister it, we take it onto the machine and we crash it with batteries and tires and engines. That is where this receipts in terms of money is coming to the trust, a result of the sale of the scraps, a crashed down taxi to scrap metal companies like Reclaim and whoever, those, the people dealing with the scraps. So in terms of the processes as we have designed them, they are fairly foolproof, but there will always be criminals out there. And those are the reasons that again, every day when we pick them up, we, one, we report them, but also, two, we tighten more. Where we find that the consultant has ripped us and we are aware or we are made aware, even through AZ or whoever, and it can be proven, that can result into an illegal or irregular award of a contract. Those are blacklisted. They never come back. They're actually not only blacklisted in the department, but they are blacklisted by the National Treasury. They cannot be used throughout government. The issue here is where we had awarded contract and we are using the person. And in that process, it is established by agencies like AG that they are irregular. But if it was deliberate, if it resulted in misrepresentation of the contractor, they get blacklisted by government and throughout government. We have quite a few cases, I'm very much involved with the On Point store in Limpopo, a part of my wife in Limpopo. They are out of the system. No government department will ever use them again. Yes, I think, on those two.
Thank you, DJ. Thank you, SNCFO. Shall we step off to the next presentation? Yes.
Before, can we open the doors? We are freezing here. We ask Udinel to switch off the aircon, but she's saying it's centralized. Can we do that?
Surely, we can. And the DG coming to your rescue. But as we step off on this matter, we'll ask the department to work very hard in turning around the situation, in as far as consultants are concerned. I know I would have asked the legal person from the department to speak a little bit on the two opinion cases, on cases, but surely you've expressed yourself on this matter. It's a serious matter, this issue of consultants. They are eating up meeting the government public funds. As if no, I'm not saying they are not necessarily needed, but surely a consultant will come in a department when there are no skills at all. He or she should be the last option to be used. But also time frames should stick to time frames that particular and penalties if they are not doing that well, because they are a specialized breed with special skills of which they must make us out as consultants. We should go to them when there's a real need, ladies and gentlemen. Let's turn around the situation and let the Auditor General, when he comes back over yourselves, and when you go to SCOPA, you must get a good story. We were there. We were sitting with you in SCOPA. We listened very attentively. But we will not raise those matters here just for the sake of hitting them. With those two words, I think there are other areas which we'll take up with the Minister at an opportune time, in as far as this matter is concerned. We are looking forward also on the issue of your forensic report. Surely, I mean, your members of parliament, you must do our oversight also in those areas. It can be at the whims of a particular person. It's conventional. The conventions of this parliament that every information should be exposed to this committee. So I'm saying with those viewers, we are looking forward to those reports and so on. Shall we take the next report, the quarterly report? We are still going to lead us. That is good. You are recognized.
We added quite a lot to the first draft presentation. I'll just go through a fairly large presentation currently, but I'll highlight, only go through the highlights. You'll look at the expenditure 243, expenditure projections, a very high level overview of where the public entities are, some major achievements and some issues not achieved by the department, and then touched on the Sambasonki program, the Provincial Road Maintenance Grant and Non-Motorized Transport. Our expenditure to quarter three, just into some detail, we'll look at the expenditure per program, etc. Up to quarter three, looking at the red highlights, where the figure percentage spent is red, it's over the norm. Three quarters into the year, an expenditure of 75% would be on budget, so anything above that would be either over expenditure, below that would be possible under expenditure. In the case of Program 1 administration, there has been over expenditure. In the case of road transport, the over expenditure there is only due to payment schedules on the provincial road maintenance grant, and the others, integrated transport planning, was lagging behind due to one particular project, the National Household Travel Survey, and civil aviation maritime also lagging behind as a result of specific projects. In the case of public transport, the under expenditure is due to the payment schedule for the public transport infrastructure and system grant. So basically, reasons for the major over and under expenditure. In administration, we overspent because consultants were appointed, not budgeted for, mainly. For integrated transport planning, the National Household Travel Survey was only invoiced in February. civil aviation, we had an additional 450 million allocated for the Tata Airport refurbishment. Only spent 245 million up to the third quarter. In maritime, we were allocated an additional 20 million to remove the 31 rig from beach, not yet spent, and the payment schedules for the public transport infrastructure grant made Program 7 lag behind. First standard item, very much I'm just going to highlight, agencies and accounts, we pay them quarterly in advance. A relatively small item, machinery and equipment, high expenditure because we had to procure vehicles for the new executives in the department. Universities and technicons were paid on a predetermined schedule, not necessarily linearly through the year, and there were losses written off in the department of 4.4 million. Transfer payments, what this looked like, most are on target. Some agencies were paid 100% because I requested the department to assist them, and it did fit our fund requests. We didn't yet pay the Transport Education Training Authority a very small amount, but we need to get this done, and the other unders and overs are essentially because of payment schedules and leave payment donations. We overspent that very small amount. On conditional grants, this is the expenditure of the department against the budget. The variations are due essentially on payment schedules. The provincial road maintenance grant, this graph indicates amounts paid by the department to provinces and spent by the provinces for the period April to December. And the percentages very much correlate with historical figures as well. Some of these provinces are slightly underspending, Northern Cape, Western and Northwest. Some other provinces actually spent more in the period than what we have given them. For the period into this year, in total the provinces spent 76% of what the department paid over to them. The public transport operations grant, same thing. Expenditure is relatively much higher on this grant. Where some of the provinces lag behind, it's because of claims from operators for the previous bus subsidies. For the period, however, the provinces spent 90% of what the department paid over to them. The public transport infrastructure and systems grant, some of the expenditure is a little bit erratic. In total, they spent 127% of what the department has paid over to them. And we'll get to some reasons somewhat later on. On compensation of employees, the department saved some money because not all posts were filled. The filling of posts is now gaining momentum, and we don't expect the same variances to happen in the next financial year. On our goods and services, administration is overspent. We just list the reasons there for each program. The major deviations, which I've already mentioned, mostly within goods and services. Our projection, the projected expenditure, because we knew we were going to overspend in Program 1, and we projected our expenditure, worked at the variances per program, which we expect at the end of the day against budget, worked out how we think we should shift funds to correct the expected overexpenditure, particularly in Program 1. The shifting of 30 million to integrated transport planning is for specific project, which would not have been overspent. Just the same per standard item, we are shifting 30 million away from compensation of employees and most of that into goods and services. Just per program, this is just that drilling down where we expect to end up in the financial year. For integrated transport planning, we expect to underspend by 4.5 million. This is for a number of projects, most of them on target. There's the National Transport Forum, updating a national freight data bank, to develop a greenhouse gas inventory and an energy consumption framework. We collectively on those projects we are on underway, but we will be underspending a little bit on those. Rail transport, we don't expect to underspend by too much. In the case of road transport, most of those are just on road standards development, where the department will be underspending. Civil aviation, so we expect to underspend there 49 or 50 million, but most of that is 47 million that was allocated to the department too much, which will be going back to Treasury. Maritime transport, at the time we thought we will underspend by 8 million. Currently we don't think so. We think we will be spending most of that money. There's some more costs coming through for oil spill cleanups that we were not aware of, and public transport we think will spend virtually all of its money at the end of the day. This just indicate where we will be shifting funds from, within program and across programs, towards program one, and this is in the standard items. And this is how we see shifting funds, mainly from compensation of employees and 20 million from tax recapitalization. And this, see, we listed here major projects where we projected expenditure to year end and what we have spent on those projects up to the end of December. Some highlights, the transaction advisor project that has been contracted, the contribution towards premises, has been contracted. The household travel survey has been paid in February. The integrated rural development plan of 38 million is only going out on tender now. We expect that figure to be rolled over. Other major projects, feasibility study for Mlotu Corridor, has been contracted. We have been receiving invoices, but we may not spend the full amount by year end. We've already made some further payments on the refurbishment of Umtata Airport, so we think we will be ending up on the figure projected there. In the case of maritime transport, we have not yet received costs coming through from the removal of the Sally 1 wreck from the beach, but the Navy has started breaking down the wreck and started removing that wreck from the sea. And from the beach, and public transport very much on track to spend its money on major projects. The overview of public entity, green indicates where public entities have done somewhat better or where situations have improved, and the yellow where the situation has declined or where there are still losses. I think some of the major issues, SANRAL, South African National Road Agency Limited, still suffering from the Gauteng Freeway Improvement Project, and the e-tolling is not yet implemented. And the Road Traffic Management Corporation continuing with losses for the period, 12 million rand loss, and an accumulated loss of 200 million. This essentially comes from the irregular use of transaction fees in the past. Some major achievements and what we didn't achieve, I can just highlight some of the major ones. Establishing a single transport economic regulator, quite a lot has been done. There were some consultations and research. The household survey has been well on its way. We were charged more than 90% of the cost already. Freight optimization plans were completed, and quite a lot of work has been done to make plans to convert public transport vehicles to use natural gas. Some further non-achievements, what we did not achieve in integrated transport planning. The CJ, in many cases, bidding process restarted, terms of reference had to be refined, and then service providers didn't qualify, and non-availability of stakeholders. A lot of this indicates we still need capacity. Service providers did not qualify on functionality. We should have started these processes quite a bit earlier in the year to get this underway. A lot of these are back with a bit of adjudication committee, the terms of references and some bid processes that had to be restarted. In the case of rail transport, the National Green Paper on Rail Policy has been developed, being consulted currently. Number of coaches that were upgraded is expected to exceed the target. Replacement of the signaling system has been awarded. And quite a number of jobs will be created through the 40 billion allocation over the next number of years. Significantly, 8,088 new direct jobs will be created with a large local copy. In the case of the railway safety regulator, they are, except for, they're very much either over target or below target. Basically, and it's also only up to December, so they look as if they should reach most of their targets or high level targets. Not achieved in rail transport. Green vehicle work line extension construction is on hold due to community demands. Bridge City, there's labor unrest which relays the process and conducting a rail regulatory safety gap analysis, no staff as yet in the directorate. So, also again, some
can I just taking a break there. Can I just request members that we do read the quarterly report, because other matters can always be dealt when they are doing their strike plans, because they are, I think, included in the project plans. Or do you want him to continue until the last page? Because this will come again in the strategic plans. I need your guidance, because the quarterly report has been given. The lowlights and highlights, something else.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it will be important for us to deal only with the quarterly report. Some of the issues we'll deal with them during our strat plan attempt.
Any dissenting view from that or other views? Okay. all right. Let's deal with the figures and the quarterly report as highlighted. Otherwise, this is additional information that will be dealt with at an opportune time. I'm not trying to cut the department. Because it's known that impact on what you raised. If that is the case, ladies and gentlemen, we will stop at page 26 in the report in terms of the questions. there is the expenditure, order 3. Any takes from the presentation? Mamukela, Mr. Ollis, and who else? Honorable Member Dabude. That's it, in that order. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just one question. They have been telling us that the Umtata Airport, we're nearly there. It's nearly finished. It will be finished at the end. What are you really doing there? What are you really doing in that Mthatha Airport? Are you building or is it going to land the runway or you run away? Or the runway? Exactly what are you doing there? Well, but if you say you are nearly finished, that's not true. If you are doing both, the runway and the building and after that release, it was not you, I understand. You took over. What did you take over? Mthatha or Ninina? What are you doing?
Second question, Honourable Member, Olive.
Thanks, Chairperson. Can you explain why you've not paid CETA, the Transport Education and Training Authority? There's 207 million. You've not paid them 1 cent. Can you tell me why you've not paid them 1 cent? And then public transport infrastructure and systems, we're sitting at 36.3% of the budget. Can you explain to me what that item is for? What is it meant to be spent on? And why are we only sitting at 36%? And then if you look at the expenditure on conditional grants, particularly in Northern Cape and Northwest are not spending their money. Is the department doing anything to investigate what the backlog is and put pressure on those provinces that are not spending to actually spend? Because clearly it's provincial roads that are not being maintained, and those roads are going to collapse, and then we're going to have problems with deliveries of trucks and all sorts of other things. So can we find out why they're not spending their money, and are we putting pressure on them to spend? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to understand on the side of Northwest, they said they spent 57.3% of their conditional grant. The last time we visited Northwest, the grant was not used for what it is meant for. It was used to pay consultants, 110 of them, for the Department of Transport in that province. So which one are we talking about here, the 57%? Because if maybe by chance they managed to spend this 57.3%, of which I don't agree, I don't believe this, what is the role of the National Department of Transport regarding this issue of not spending in terms of the conditional, the conditions of that grant? Also, the figures that we are given here on the conditional grant, are they the true reflection of what is on the ground? I'm from Mpumalanga. I know some of our provincial roads are in a bad state. So if this this grant, they spend 66.7%. I wonder where, because I'm from that province. And also in the Eastern Cape, it's the same story. So do you have system in place to monitor how provinces spend these conditional grants? If not, what is it that we expect to get as a department? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Yes, comment.
Chair Person, there are some of the projects, okay? On the last report, they will say the projects were on the plan, and then they will be finished by 2013 when they put the budget. But when you go out there, none of those projects are existing. Like when we talk about the Moloto Corridor, we were thinking by 2013 we'll see something. Last year on the presentation by the Ndate Mashale, he was promising us that by 2013 the rail on at Pinansport will be finished. Till now, there's nothing. The problem is that on that station is now a criminal place. People are getting raped, killed on that, because now it's coming a bush, or it's coming for, I don't know what's happening on that. That's my problem. I was asking the department last, if because we are not on the same stage with them, if they can come with maybe a paper, say we were here, now we are here. Then we will understand that when we are the government, the demand, we are facing a debate. We are going to ask the money from the treasurer so that we must get the money to work. And then if there is nothing, we are going to to think, yeah, this is what was, yeah, this is what was. In my area, there's nothing happening. In my area, they use a red swell to close the potholes. There are a lot of potholes. I don't know where, when you said the money was using for the Hamba Sonke, we were asking the department to monitor the Hamba Sonke money, where the money goes. Like when my colleague said, in the Northwest, the money was paid the consultants, not to use for the Hamba Sonke project. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Zagoda.
Last one. How long does it take for the department to do the feasibility study on Mloto Road? Because this thing has been there for quite some time now. So how long is it going to take the department to complete this?
Any other questions, Mr. Honorable Krumprop? No questions. Oh, okay. It was Duma. All right. If that is fine, because I don't want the person to say, hey, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you see, we observed there are certain items where we underspent quite a lot. We underspent, and was immediately once a figure is in brackets, it tells a story. You know, it means that there is an underspending without reading too much of it. There is underspending in many instances. And the question of the rollover, you know, at some point you rolled over about 10 million in your department. I mean, it's a cause of concern. Let alone on page 26, your last page, where you speak, you see those colors. Also, they tell you that in the yellow areas, it's not very good. Can you get just a brief explanation on those three areas? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe first the civil aviation group on page 26. There's a lot of green there, but I think we can still improve in terms of our deliverables. Then the second question that has been asked is about Umtata Airport. The project is aimed at moving the status of Umtata Airport to be like East London and other Accra airports. And the project, as I was saying, we took over only 2 weeks ago. The cabinet agreed that we take over 2 weeks ago. Before that, we were holding the money, and they come to us and invoice us, and then we pay. So now the project, from 2 weeks ago, it has been transferred to transport. And there's two main projects that are ongoing there that we would want to accomplish as soon as possible. One, to allow the runway, to allow other types of bigger aircraft to be able to land at Mtata Airport. So the extension of the runway. Second one is the terminal building, to finish the terminal building. So those are two main projects that we're embarking on. So we're hoping that they would push as much as possible to ensure that Mtata Airport project is completed.
Please.
All right.
My money, it will never.
I hope you are not referring to the counselor that is here. all right. In other words, let's move a little bit of speed so that we wrap up this matter. It has been running for quite some time, and we know that it was under the competence of the provinces that were maintaining that airport and so on. So, Utumama, Singayana, Mtoto Vyane, was perhaps. Thank you. Other responses?
On the BIS, not currently part of the report, but on page 55 there are some reasons why some of these municipalities are lagging behind. There is some progress on BIS from page 52, 53, 54. And then as far as the some assistance to Northwest is concerned, also in the presentation there is a section on the Sama Soke program, and then there is part of this shows on page 67 some interventions and support that were provided to, that is being provided to Northwest Province
to assist them to spend the money. At the very bottom of the page, you'll also see that we could not reach agreement for Northwest Province to surrender any savings. We cannot just withhold money, but to some extent, it does indicate the assistance that the department is providing to Northwest and also to other provinces to implement the Samba Sonke program. And that would apply also to the Northern Cape, the same kind of assistance that the department is providing. Maloto Corridor, the feasibility study that we are currently busy with is a new feasibility study, unfortunately. There was a feasibility study done some years ago and now being redone. The reason why is that the previous feasibility study was only looking at, it's not being totally redone, but the previous feasibility study was only about the Maloto Rail feasibility study, not a Maloto Corridor feasibility study. This feasibility study will look at both rail as well as road-based transport. How long it will take? It started several months ago. I don't have an idea of how long exactly it will take, but it's definitely on course.
Everyone was, you are raising our eyebrows on the matter now, in the manner in which this matter has been responded to. Did you, before I raise my eyebrows further?
Yeah, okay. Maloto again. Chairperson, it's true, Maloto's feasibility, economic viability was done some years back by the province. But it is, and cabinet approved, national cabinet approved. But Chair, Treasury set us back, unfortunately. What Treasury said is that you need to look at other options. You cannot look at rail and rail only. You must go therefore and look at other viability. I mean other options, which was quite fair, eh? If you were to from a public transport point of view, but a little bit unfair from the residents there, because they've got one own preference. But also, we are all very clear from transport. We had agreed long time ago that that should be a red corridor for a number of reasons. Travel time and the issues around safety. And the cost of life, which is immeasurable. We cannot measure the losses of life as a result of a road-based solution. But we had to do the road-based solution and then do a cost-benefit analysis. This cost-benefit analysis, for obvious reasons, would include those issues that cannot necessarily be costed. However, we have to do it because Treasury says we must do it. It is at the final stages in terms of that feasibility study. Just send an SMS to JD where we'll get response in terms of when they will finish there. But we, from the transport, we had long concluded that should be a record for the mainly for the safety reasons that I've just spoken about and the issues around travel time. Issues that are not necessarily easy to court, but the Treasury looking at money that we needed to do those kind of studies. Chair, some of the expenditures here are not necessarily linear. They depend on payment schedules, more than agreed payment schedules, which are targeted. PKS, for example. The situation now is drastically changed because of the disbursement that have already been made from the department side. I think slide 8, I'm talking to slide 8. It shows 36% as at quarter 3. But it's not a linear disbursement. It's not like 12 equal amounts that are sent there. It is based on the agreed schedules and based on what the cities have indicated that they would want at a particular given time. And as you look at it, the majority of them did not need any money before June, which July being the start of their financial year. So they needed money in the new year of the municipality. So it shows like that it is slow spending from the department, but it's actually how we have scheduled the payments. But the issues around the expenditure by municipalities, I think Omlen is right. You need to therefore go further down in terms of the explanation on performance of that particular grant. And then the last one there on the PRMG, Provincial Road Management Grant. Like we always say, Chair, this is not new money. Basically, consolidation of grants and monies available to provinces. The idea to therefore create a grant like PRMG was to focus attention on maintenance in the main, because the criticism was that you're busy building bits and pieces of roads here and there. You are not maintaining what you have. Hence the creation of that grant. In terms of its performance, unfortunately, like in our grant, the implementing agent becomes therefore the province. We monitor, and we have, in terms of the act, the ability or the responsibility to withhold funds. If it's not being spent, the delicate balance is to withhold funds and also come to the committee and hear members saying nothing is happening in a particular province. That is a very delicate balance. But at the start, this is the second year of the The agreement was that all outstanding projects that started some years back needed to be completed and be paid out of the PRMG. That is why you would see still payments to commitments that were made prior to the creation or establishment of this grant. And that's where you will definitely see a little bit of a skewed performance. As we clear that backlog and get into newer projects, you can therefore be able to assess the expenditure vis-a-vis the work on the ground. But the majority of provinces are indicating to us that they are still honoring previous commitments. Yes, and then I'm awaiting an answer on the Pinas. Is it Pinas Flood or Pinas Refier? I think it should be Pinas Refier Station, which we will get and provide. If we don't, we'll provide a written response, Honorable Chair. Thanks a lot. And non-existent projects, for example, Muloto, of course, it looks very non-existent because there's no dust going up. But that's the main reason. We are still at business justifying why rail, which is what we call what they call.
Thank you very much for the responses. Any alternative response, Umden? Okay. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I think we will follow you up with other questions in relation to what you have written to us. We must expect written questions, and you will respond also promptly on those questions that you raise. I want to thank the department, thank everybody that is here for having listened to us attentively. I know we did not get thorough going in certain areas because also of time constraints. Some of us must still fine-tune our speeches for this afternoon. The debate in the House. Otherwise, thank you very much, members, for making yourselves available for this meeting. The meeting is adjourned. May I ask Mr. Kofun, in terms of the next week's program, I think because of your flight and on, there was a question to that effect. What is the program for next week? It's a committee week. Surely a communication will follow you to all members in as far as next week is concerned, because I think the chapter can